Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 48 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
It's 1.1 miles from Aduck to Buffalo Wild Wings. That's about a 12-minute walk. When I told the Student Government Association about this, their eyes lit up.
The first phase of a project that would extend walking trails around downtown Moorhead is securing funding.
Moorhead's decades-old zoning codes are getting an update.
Officials say a reported HIV outbreak in Rowan County is untrue.
Kentucky's top education administrator has criticized teachers using sick outs to protest in Frankfort.
A number of bills wait on Governor Matt Bevin's desk for consideration.
In sports, MSU baseball faces off with EKU this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy with lows around 30 degrees tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Daniel Boone Rails to Trails is securing funding as it prepares to launch phase one of its project. The nonprofit promotes walking, hiking, and cycling in and around Moorhead. Phase one would extend the Triplet Valley Trail, which begins near City Park, to Newtown Square. Scott Davison represented Rails to Trails as he pitched the project to Moorhead City Council. He says it would make the community more connected.
And this is the most important piece, is that people visit. And this is a social space. It's like a long, thin park, like a long, thin public square. It's going to change the whole look and feel of downtown Moorhead if you can get from one side or the other of town along a dedicated trail. We already are a trail town. We have the Sheltoe Trace. But the Sheltoe Trace trail is either up in the woods where some people can't go, or it comes through town on sidewalks and streets where you're competing with other traffic.
Funding for the trail, which includes the price of a bridge across part of Triplet Creek, costs about $430,000. The city of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead Tourism have already allocated funds for part of that cost.
Potential updates to Moorhead's decades-old zoning codes are the subject of an upcoming public hearing. A local committee has worked for about a year to take a thorough look at the codes and recommend changes. Moorhead City Councilman Glenn Teeger says much of the work endeavored to make the codes simpler. He says they had not been touched in years.
We started about a year ago in looking at all our codes. They had not really been addressed since the 70s. We've addressed it piecemeal, but we had not had an entirety look at the whole code enforcement book and code ordinances. So they've been working on that for about 6 to 9 months, I think.
Teeger says the public will have the opportunity to hear the proposed changes on March 28th at 6 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center.
Moorhead State University is hosting its first children's summer camp this year. Each camp section is weekly and will run May 20th through August 2nd. The registration deadline for each camp section is the Monday prior to each week. The intramural and club sports coordinator for MSU, Zachary Martin, says this is a great way for children to enjoy the summer.
For students, it is $90 a week for their child to attend. For faculty and staff and anybody who has a membership at the Recreation Wellness Center, it is $110 per week. And for anyone who doesn't have a membership at the Recreation Center, it is $125 per week.
Children will be swimming, hiking, fishing, and playing games during the camp. More information is available at moorheadstate.edu.
Tickets are on sale for the 26th annual Moorhead State Spring Gala. An evening in Madrid will take place on Saturday, April 27th, at the newly renovated Adrian Dorn University Center. Guests can expect a variety of events, including a reception, dinner, and a show courtesy of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Button Auditorium. Allison Cottle is the Assistant Director for Alumni Relations and Development at Moorhead State University. She says tickets for the gala are on sale now.
The gala is definitely open to the public. We do offer individual as well as corporate sponsorship opportunities available for anyone who may be interested in attending. Tickets are available on the website at www.moorheadstate.edu/gala.
All proceeds generated by the gala support student scholarships and student programming.
Officials say a reported HIV cluster in Rowan County was a hoax. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
Emergency medical services, the health department, and the general public were concerned when a West Virginia newspaper reported an active HIV cluster in Morehead on March 4th. Huntington's Herald-Dispatch reported Cable County's current HIV outbreak, saying other regions are experiencing HIV clusters, including Morehead. Gateway District Health Director Bobby Ratliff received phone calls when the story was posted, but he claimed there is not an HIV cluster or outbreak in Rowan County. Ratcliffe talked to the reporter about the situation, and they corrected the article. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Kentucky exports reached an all-time high for the fourth straight year. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
Governor Bevin announced that nearly $32 billion in goods and services were shipped abroad from the Commonwealth last year. That's a nearly 3% increase compared to 2017. Aerospace products were the number one export, followed by motor vehicles and pharmaceuticals. Canada remains Kentucky's number one export destination, receiving more than $7 billion in goods and services. France, the United Kingdom, Brazil, and Mexico rounded out the list. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll be right back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with six lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Kentucky General Assembly is now on break, having sent bills dealing with abortion, campus-free speech, pension relief, along with new tax and budget measures, to the governor for his consideration. Two bills that did not pass muster, private school scholarship tax credits and an overhaul of a teacher pension board, had drawn hundreds of protesters to the Capitol. Here's House Speaker David Osborne.
I think it was a productive session. I don't think it was necessarily an overly ambitious session.
The governor now has the option to sign, veto, or leave unsigned any of the bills. Lawmakers return on the 28th for the final day of the session, when they can override vetoes or pass new bills.
Kentucky's top education administrator is asking questions about teacher sickouts this week. Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis is asking for information relating to teachers calling in sick during the final days of the legislative season. Lewis says he is looking for clarity, as there is multiple teachers calling in sick and causing districts to close.
Calling in sick and participating in demonstrations in Frankfort are not one and the same. There are teachers who have called in sick and forced districts to have to close and did not go to Frankfort.
Right.
Conversely, there are teachers who've been in Frankfort demonstrating who did not call in sick.
Lewis says he isn't looking for a list of teachers that were in Frankfort, but wants the name of the teachers who called in sick in districts that were closed.
A bill setting new college campus free speech guidelines gained final passage yesterday. Areas cordoned off for protests at universities would be expanded to include all open outdoor venues on campus under House Bill 254. Schools must also affirm their commitment to granting the, quote, broadest possible latitude to speak, write, listen, challenge, learn, and discuss any issue. Here's Republican Senator Will Schroeder.
House Bill 254 helps guide universities with free speech, with adopting policies that are consistent with the First Amendment and case law surrounding it.
Opponents fear some of those policies could have unintended consequences. Lawmakers tried to pass similar legislation last year and were unsuccessful. This year, the bill is headed to the governor.
A new bill on abortion is making its way to Governor Matt Bevin's desk. The Republican-led Kentucky legislature has passed a bill that would ban women from having an abortion based on the fetus's race, gender, or disability, and would hold the abortionist accountable for performing the abortion due to one of those specific reasons. House Bill 5 passed on a vote of 32-4. Despite the overwhelming vote in favor of the ban, Democratic Senator Gerald Neal was very much against it.
I cannot comprehend how we want to bring life into this world with a child that has the disabilities that I have enumerated, and then abandon that child once that child comes into this world.
Critics also worry that this new ban would force women to lie to their doctors. The American Civil Liberties Union says they will file a lawsuit challenging the measure.
Kentucky lawmakers passed a tax cleanup bill Wednesday night. House Bill 354 will give a tax break to some locally owned banks and exempt nonprofit groups from sales taxes. House Speaker David Osborne tells WKYT he supports the bill.
This is a good piece of legislation. It is a thoughtful piece of legislation that is considerate of business in Kentucky and considerate of the working people of Kentucky.
The bill now goes to Governor Matt Bevin's desk to await his signature. If he vetoes the bill, lawmakers will have a chance to override that decision.
A bill that would make the state's Work Ready Kentucky Scholarship Program part of a state law received final passage yesterday in the Kentucky House by a vote of 85-0. Senate Bill 98 would codify the Work Ready Kentucky Scholarship Program that has provided assistance for work certifications, associate's degree work, and more recently, high school students taking coursework designed to benefit the state's top workforce sectors. The scholarship program is currently administered by executive order of the governor. The expansion of the scholarship program to high school students allows them to take two courses each year of high school with state assistance. A carryover in funding for the program from the previous budget cycle will cover program costs. Senate Bill 98 now goes to governor for his signature.
Kentuckians gathered at the Capitol to press for the restoration of voting rights for felons who have served their time. Former Governor Steve Beshear established a voting rights order, but it was reversed by Governor Matt Bevin. Advocates estimate over 300,000 people are prohibited from casting their ballot under the current law. They would like to see change, be it through legislation or an executive order, one of which they plan to deliver to the governor's office.
This is an executive order. The power is in the pen. He could sign this today.
Senate Bill 57, which allows low-level felonies to be expunged, was passed yesterday. It now heads to the governor's desk for approval.
Pikeville police arrested a man Wednesday after witnesses saw him driving erratically. Officers responded to U.S. Route 23 when the caller told police the car had nearly hit a school bus head-on. Kayla Childers and her husband tailed the man and recorded the incident. She tells WIMT if she and her husband hadn't kept following them, someone would have been killed.
Yeah, we were terrified. I was screaming. I was scared to death. He wrecked twice in front of us. Yeah, he had wrecked twice and made it back onto the road. Every car he passed, he ran off the road. But there was a few places where cars couldn't get off the road, and he managed to get over just in time.
Police apprehended the suspect, Kevin Hopkins, after he pulled into a Food City and parked in the fire lane. Hopkins has been charged with driving under the influence and is lodged at the Pike County Detention Center. No bond has been set. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, sunny with a high near 48. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Sunday, increasing clouds with a high near 50. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Monday, sunny with a high near 46. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Winchester, Lexington, and Flemingsburg, it's 46. In Ashland, it's 56. In Inez, it's 62, and here in Moorhead, it's 49 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders, ought we dismiss stories that are untrue, even if they are helpful in the fight for justice?
This message is for teachers. You know about this moment in the classroom, when a student is speaking, perhaps describing an event or an era, and what comes out of the mouth is just factually wrong? What do you do? The simple response that on its face seems elegant and egalitarian is that one gently corrects the student's error. But what if the error the student is making is favorable to the premises of your own views? What if the error the student is making is part of a widely accepted narrative that remains insidious despite being proven to be false? First, correcting a misperception that one happens to share is hard to do, because we're so steeped in our own views, but also trying to argue facts against emotionally and socially concretized beliefs is just plain risky. Let's consider a case. Ferguson. Already your ears have perked up because to discuss it is to suggest something needs to be clarified, and it does. How would we judge if any crime had been committed? Of course, we would ask for judgments from the most qualified among us, say, the United States Department of Justice, under Eric Holder, fierce advocate for racial justice. Or we might go to a local grand jury nearest to the event in question and study their decisions. How could anyone dismiss the decisions of both of these agencies? The DOJ concluded the officer did not commit a crime, and the grand jury did too. So when your student states unequivocally that a sworn police officer murdered Michael Brown in an act of racial hatred that was unprovoked and was perpetrated on a man standing with his hands in the air, what do you do? That is the story that is packed so tightly into the word Ferguson. That is the incorrect description of what happened there when we hear hands up, don't shoot. We're not talking about any other town or moment right now, but that officer, that young man, and what happened on that street in Ferguson. And as for that, it was not a crime. So said Mr. Holder's Department of Justice. So said the grand jury. And yet, somehow, the truth about the determinations has not grown the same legs that the original horrifying allegations did. Once momentous hatred for the officer got rolling, it was hard to stop, even with facts, even with determinations by groups known to be solid. Yet no one could stop, and even now no one can stop, that erroneous narrative from thriving, being used as a premise for all sorts of arguments. And because so many people believe it, it continues to be rhetorically powerful. So you're the teacher. You sit there listening to this error, factual errors, yet to point them out might suggest you were seeking to degrade the broader fight for justice. Best to say nothing, right? Best to let the error prevail in the name of the greater idea, that there are real crimes, even if this case was not one. Or do you gently suggest that everyone in the room read up on the DOJ's verdict concerning Ferguson? What would you do? Would you correct an error in class that at its root was fundamental to another moral case? Should the handy myth persist, even in the face of harming the truth? Should we let our students walk around believing the lie and denying the fact for the greater good? What would you do? I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number one and two plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
The Eagles are battling it out with EKU for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. It's game day for the Morehead State University baseball team. Coming off a two-game matchup with West Virginia this week, the Eagles are now underway in game one of their series against Eastern Kentucky University. The three-game series resumes OVC play for MSU, and head coach Mike McGuire says the Colonels will make for a tough contest.
We've got a big series this weekend, and you know, not going to be a whole lot of rest between series, but that's just how baseball is, and you know, we got to play good baseball against a good EKU club, and we want to be OVC champs. You know, we can't take time off, and have letdowns this weekend.
The Eagles play again tomorrow at 2 p.m., then again on Sunday at 1. You can listen to those games live on MSUEagles.com. Morehead State Director of Athletics Brian Hutchinson has accepted the position of Director of Athletics at Lincoln Memorial University. Hutchinson, who has served as Morehead State's Director of Athletics since 2004, will begin his new role in April. Prior to his current position at MSU, Hutchinson served as the department's Associate Athletic Director from 2001 to 2004. Hutchinson also held positions of Director of Athletic Development and Marketing, Director of Athletics Development for MSU's Office of Development, and Regional Development Officer. It was a monumental year for the Morehead State Rifle Program, securing numerous school records and the program's highest ever national ranking. The Eagles recently wrapped up the season with senior Brandon Breyer and junior Alexa Potts earning spots in the NCAA championships. Morehead State finished the year ranked number 9 in the Collegiate Rifle Coaches Association final poll, the highest spot in the program history. The Eagles play second in the OVC Conference for the second consecutive season. It's the highest finished ever in the league for the program. Head coach Alan Joseph was named OVC Co-Coach of the Year, and Rifle had the highest team GPA of any sport at MSU for the fall 2018 semester. The Morehead State softball team is set to play its first home games of the 2019 season over the weekend when they host St. Bonaventure and Bowling Green in the Morehead State Classic on Saturday and Sunday at University Field. The Eagles are looking to secure their first win of the season and will have four chances to do so as they play both the Bonnies and the Falcons twice in the Classic. First-year head coach Samantha Jones says the team has been working on winning small battles during practices, weight room, and conditioning workouts. Both games feature Morehead State on Saturday will be streamed live on ESPN+. Sunday's game's promotion is a bark in the park, as fans are allowed to bring their four-legged friends out to the field for a fun day of softball. Admissions to Sunday's game is also free to all fans. Live stats will be available for MSU Classic games on msueagles.com. Rowan County softball team will be hosting scrimmage games tomorrow with regular season action set to open on Monday. The Vikings host Frederick Douglass at 10:30 a.m. at Sloan Stadium. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team looks pretty good so far.
Well, defensively should be our strong suit. Hitting the ball always is game to game, but over the whole season we should be able to score a lot of runs, hopefully. And if the pitching staff can do what they did last year, we should have a very successful season.
Rowan will host several teams during Saturday's scrimmage. They will also play in the final game at 6:30 p.m. Elite Eight action in the girls' KHSAA Sweet 16 tournament wraps up today in Lexington. Owensboro Catholic took down Scott County in today's opener 62-51. George Rogers Clark fell to Ryle 64-51. Tonight at 6:30, Barron County meets Male and Southwestern and North Laurel. And Southwestern and North Laurel face off at 8 p.m. The final four games will be played tomorrow at Rupp Arena. Owensboro Catholic and Ryle play at 6:30 p.m., and the winners of tonight's games will play at 8 p.m. The championship game will be played Sunday at 2 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Kentucky faces Alabama tonight as March Madness starts in Nashville, Tennessee. Kentucky's basketball team is 26-5, while Alabama is 18-14. Officials are predicting Kentucky's win at 88.1% with an Alabama win at 11.9%. Kentucky's coach John Calipari says there's pressure in trying to stay on top during the game.
You give them hope. If you give them hope, they're beating you. You're in the cliff. And one of you's going in. Don't make it us. And if it's close, now all of a sudden they start doing superhuman things not to go in the cliff. You got to go right out and bury teams like that because it's hard.
Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Online at msueagles.com. Eagles softball will host the Morehead State Classic this weekend, featuring games with Bowling Green and St. Bonaventure. Tickets available for the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks posted strong weekly gains as investors cheered renewed optimism on the U.S.-China trade front, and the Dow Industrials had a good day today, finishing with a gain of 138.93 at 25,848.87. The S&P 500 was up 14 to finish at 2822.48, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 57.62 at 7688.53. The Dow was helped out by the turnaround in Boeing stock as the shares closed 1.5% higher. Boeing's turnaround was sparked by a report midday that said the company planned to roll out a software upgrade for its 737 MAX aircraft. And semiconductor shares also really helped boost the NASDAQ today as the VanEck Sectors or VanEck Vector Semiconductor ETF climbed more than 2%. Broadcom shares led the gains, rising more than 9% after the company reported better-than-expected quarterly earnings. Also today, a Chinese official spoke via telephone with U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. It was reported by the Xinhua News Agency, and the report did say that the two sides have made further progress or concrete progress on the text of the trade agreement between the two sides. And this news comes after it was reported yesterday that Chinese negotiators suggest combining a state visit to the U.S. with the signing of a trade deal. Beijing wants a deal to be fully ironed out before President Xi Jinping meets with U.S. President Donald Trump. And AT&T shares were actually very strong today, up almost 1%, after Raymond James upgraded the telecommunications giant to outperform from market perform, citing an attractive valuation relative to rival Verizon. Ulta Beauty was up over 9% on the back of better-than-expected quarterly earnings, and Tesla shares fell more than 5% after investors were left disappointed with the unveiling of the Model Y, which is the car company's latest electric vehicle. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.33% at $58.42 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,301.70 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers are Intel and Boeing, while the worst performers were Coca-Cola and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Ulta Beauty and Broadcom, and the worst performers were Whirlpool and WestRock. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up $2.26 at $113.90, UPS down $1.34 at $109.54, Marathon Petroleum up 78 cents at $60.47, Valvoline unchanged at $17.95, Fifth Third Bank down 9 cents at $28.32, and AEP was up 82 cents to finish at $83.80. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pawn is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspawn.com.
Taking a look at a community event, the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a basketball trivia night from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 22nd. Teams of two players is $5, and up to six players is $10. Cash bar and snacks must be at least 21 or over. Tickets available online or at the door.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, sunny with a high near 48. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Sunday, increasing clouds with a high near 50. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Monday, sunny with a high near 46. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Winchester, Lexington, and Flemingsburg, it's 46 degrees. In Ashland, it's 56. In Inez, it's 62. And here in Moorhead, it's 49 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Tandy Wallingford, Kinsey Thompson, Brian Courtney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, and KNN's Haley Hansen. And Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya Andwaza and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.